can make this right. It's the last thing I want to do is teach error. So with that being said, this morning, I want to talk about our influence. Our influence is something that can be good or something that can be bad. We all have influence, no matter if you're young or if you're old. We have it. And we need to know in this lesson, we'll find out the difference, or we need to know the difference of right and wrong. And in this lesson, we're going to see that our examples or our influence are of words and are of actions. In this lesson, we're going to remember that our influence is going to be obvious to others. How do you dress? If you don't think that the way you dress causes an influence, well, it does. If you see an Amish person or a Mennonite, you know who they are, do you not? It's because of the way they dress. And we as Christians need to dress appropriately because of our influence. Also, the Christian has an influence of happy people. We should be happy people because we know what the Word of God has said, and we have salvation, and we should be willing and ready to give it to others as well. Are we happy people, or are we the doom and gloom kind of people? Your influence says a lot. And then finally, we'll see our influence will definitely affect our salvation. So we're going to see our influence do affect others. And our influence, it can either further the cause of Christ, or it will harm the teaching of someone the truth. And hopefully, at the end of this, we can all excel in our influence towards one another. So let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, in verses 13 through 16, and this is where we're going to get the base of our study this morning. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So in this passage, we see that Christians should be either salt or light, or we need to be both, rather. I know I'm a big eater. I like salt. And all of us knows it enhances the flavor of the food. I never really thought about this until I brought this sermon together. We should enhance, our lives should be enhanced, and we should be showing other people what Christians are. We should be the salt. And then we go about the light. It is something that we see or use to see other things that are around us. It is an influence that improves our visibility of objects. This too, our light. As a Christian, we are to shed light on things that are wrong, things that are of sin, and that's our purpose. This is our influence. So Christians are like salt and light, and they ought to have an influence on those around us. Now, if our influence or if our salt and light are not being used for good, then it goes back to verse 13 here in Matthew 5, it has lost its flavor. So when I ask ourselves this morning, does your salt have flavor? Our lives should be filled with examples for others to see God living in us. Does your light shine through darkness? Are you blending in with the world? You shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. As Christians, we should be shedding the light on sin. So let's start this morning by defining influence. Influence is the power to change or affect someone or something. The power to cause changes without directly forcing them to happen. A person or thing that affects someone or something in an important way. Christian influence would positively affect or alter someone through the way they live their Christian lives. By example, the way you walk, the way your actions, or through the words that you speak, you're an influence to someone. To the older, to the younger, here this morning, you have an influence. I look upon the older people and see how they handle things in their life. I see how they're living through their golden years, as they say. As I see the people that are happy, that's the way I want to be. And that's an influence on us. And the younger looks up to us older people as well. But again, we're all influenced whether you like it or not. So let's begin our studies this morning with point number one here. Our Christian influence should reflect good and not evil. Think of a child for a moment. All of us who have had kids, or you've been around kids, or toddlers, when they crawl on the floor, when a child gets something in the hand, what's the first thing they put it? Right in the mouth. And sometimes these things won't harm them. Then there's sometimes these things is dangerous for them. It could hurt them or kill them. Why do they do that? Because they don't know any better. Well, if you open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, we see the solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. When you become an adult, you have or should know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. You know what could kill you, you know what won't kill you. You know the things that are healthy for you, things that are not healthy for you. You learn these things, and especially by reading God's Word, you know the difference between right and the things that are wrong. Unfortunately, people know things are wrong, but yet, as you've heard, they'll take parts of the Bible out because they don't want to read it because they know they're wrong. And that's the point. We know the difference between right and wrong. So our next point here is it must reflect what is holy and pure. Matthew 5, verse 48. Matthew 5, verse 48. In this verse, Jesus said, you must, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How many of us here are perfect? How many of us here will ever be perfect? None of us. We'll never be perfect, and we've seen that in other verses in the Bible. We'll never attain perfection on this earth, but it will exist eternally. And it helps me to understand that I could never in a million years be a perfect person. But it also helps me understand that the gift of salvation is free from Christ for those who obey it. And I understand that for me to strive for perfection, it makes my influence better because you are living the way God would have you to do. So God gave us quite a bit of a goal here, did he not? Strive to be perfect. And like I said, when you do this, your influence will be better. So are you or not, are we striving to be perfect? 1 Peter 1, I think I skipped something here. Yeah, 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. Be holy. Peter said, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. For those of us who proclaim to be Christians, for those of us who are Christians, our job is to be holy. Why? Because God told us to. Our influence must not give opportunity for the devil to speak evil of us, the church, or Christ himself. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Again, striving to live a holy life will make our influences better on other people. Now, our influence, we see that it must be good and not evil. We also see that let's look at the people can see our influence through our examples of words and our actions. Our choices affect the lives of others. If you will, open your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3, here Paul is he says, and I'm going to start with verse 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. He said in verse 2, to speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and show perfect and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. And then jump down to the verse that I have on the screen here in verse 8. Paul said, this saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. The choices you make, the choices you and I make, have repercussions on the lives of other people. And when we devote ourselves to God, as Paul mentioned here, it will promote happiness because, like I said earlier, Christians should be happy. And by this, we teach others by our words and our actions. So how can you teach others if you're not devoted to Christ? No one likes a hypocrite. You know, there's a guy at work that he preaches at a denomination. He's a nice guy, but he cusses like a sailor when he's at work. And it's odd. And I've questioned him on this. I said, well, how can you preach on Sunday and cuss the rest? And not only I've asked him, but other men or other people that work there are the same way. And they're not even Christians. So how do you think his influence is? Not good. And when we asked him, his response is always, don't do as I do, but do it as I say. That don't work like it. That's a bad influence. And the people there don't even take him serious at all because of how he is. And that's something we need to take in consideration. If you're a Christian and you're out living or proclaiming to be a Christian, but yet you're living in sin, people take notice of that. And they won't take you seriously, and there goes your influence. James chapter 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and of good works, good fruits, impartial and sincere. Our words and actions should be, first of all, need to be pure. Your words and our actions should be peaceable. They should be gentle. Are they open to reason? Are you full of mercy? People notice if you forgive others that do things against you, they notice these things. Are you of good fruits? The things you say, is it good? Are you impartial, sincere? By doing these things, again, the people will notice your influence. And by doing the things that Paul has mentioned here, your influence will be good. Now let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Our choices affect the lives of others. Paul said, let no one despise you of your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and examples in conduct and love and faith and purity. You notice that? Paul said, set examples in these things he's mentioned here. No matter what age you are, again, young or old, you have an influence. So live your life so others can follow you. Be a good pattern to your friends. Be a good pattern to your family. Let them know what your purpose in life is. And by that, you could teach them the Word of God. And finally, on this chart here, Titus chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. Titus 2, 7 through 8. Again, Paul. He says, show yourselves in all respects to be a model of good works. There it is. There's that influence. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, and that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Again, influence. Paul said, be a model of good works. When you're a Christian, people notice it. And unfortunately, as a lot of us know, when they know you're a Christian, they're going to try to find something against or something you do where they can make themselves feel better. So we should not, as Paul said, don't give them that opportunity. Don't give them that chance. Make sure your influence is good. Our next slide, or the next thing you need, we need to see that our influence are seen through our associations. And throughout the Bible, we are warned about the people who we are with. But your influence, you can influence others by the people you hang out with. Be careful who you associate with. Exodus 23 verse 2 says, you shall not fall in with the many who do evil. You ever heard the old saying, the way to hell is broad and well beaten? There's a lot of people going that way. That's because of the way they live their lives. and we don't need to be around those people. People who know you're a Christian, they pay, well, they know the friends that you hang around. You may have wild and rebellious friends. How's that going to look to people who are considering or thinking about the Word of God? They're not going to look at you as seriously because they may think, and that's just the way humans are, they think, well, if he's with these people, he is the same way. But yeah, I know people say, well, Christ, he hung around sinners. Well, he did that in order to teach them. He did that in order to teach them about salvation. So we need to be careful about who our associations. I get that. That word's hard for me. I'm not saying be a snob or anything, but we need to. If we're going to be there, we need to teach them what's right. We need to teach them about salvation and be an influence to all. Next point. We need to stay away from unfruitful darkness. Ephesians 5:6-13. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Verse 10, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Again, that goes back to the light. But God, Paul said, do not be partners with them. Do not partake of this unfruitful works of darkness. Again, have no associations with those of the world. That because it will affect your influence. It will affect you and your influence, rather. And by not associating with these wickedness, we shine the light on what the things that are right, and it shines a light on the things that are wrong. That is what we are to do, to be teaching others. And if you're followers of Christ, then you will strive to have the right associations for yourself and for your influence. Then on this chart, associate with God and His people. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3-7. 1 John 1:3-7. John said, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, we are writing these things that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him no darkness is at all. If we say it, we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. Our fellowship should be with brethren. Our fellowship should be with God. That's who our associations need to be with. And when we do this, and when we practice these things, our influence will be a whole lot better. Point number 4, our influence should be obvious to all. Remember what I mentioned earlier about the way we dress. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. Here Peter says that, but you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Excellence is very obvious, isn't it? If it's not obvious that something is good, is a good influence, then of course we know it's bad. It's a bad influence. If someone does not know that you're a Christian, then maybe you need to think about or consider your influence. It should be obvious to everyone that we know whether you're a Christian or not. Again, it goes back to how we are. People understand, people look at us, people know who are religious in the workplace. I know in the factory, you could tell, you can see different people, you know who are people who are trying to follow God, then you know who ain't by their obvious how they act. So again, your influence is very important. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Especially during this time of our life and their time as well, Christians should be something someone could look at, someone who they could turn to in the midst of all the troubles and things that are happening. We as Christians, we must reflect God's character, and that's our jobs as Christians. But is your reflection a good reflection, or is it a bad reflection of God? So let's remember that as we go out into the world, that it's our job, our responsibility to teach others. And then finally, our last point here, our influence, it will affect our salvation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, going back to the verse we read earlier, said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled under the people's feet." When the salt isn't working anymore, you throw it out, don't you? And that's the same way of us as well. If we're not influencing for the good anymore, we're going to be cast out. Galatians 5, verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. You're going to reap what you sow. In Revelation chapter 14, 3, however, there's good influence, and God is going to reward us for the good influences that we have. If you'll turn to Revelation 14, verse 13, I really like this verse, and it should be something of an encouragement for us to keep on striving to do what's right. Revelation 14, verse 13 said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." You know, sometimes we may think the following God is unfair because you want to do different things, or it's hard sometimes. Well, that's not true. But we need to look at it like this. Blessed indeed are those who die in the Lord from now on. If you're striving to make a good influence around on people around us, then, and obeying God, what better thing to do? Because he is going to reward us and in the end. So what have we seen this morning in this lesson? Hopefully we've understood that we all have an influence, of course. And hopefully we understand that no matter what you do, you're an influence to someone. Our influence should reflect good, not evil. Our influence is shown through our example of words and actions. Our influence can be seen through our associations. Our influence should be obvious to all, and it will affect our salvation. So again, I hope this lesson has helped us in some way. I hope that maybe we'll go out now and excel in our relationship with others, and I hope that we'll understand and increase our ability to teach others through our influence. There's some here who say they can't speak to others about God because they're too shy. Well, again, you already are, one way or another. So if you're a Christian, you've fallen away. Maybe your salt has lost its flavor. Well, if your influence is not working for good, but it's working for evil, you need to turn your life around. You need to come back to God and make this right. If you've never been baptized, you need to do that as well. If there's anyone here that's subject to the gospel or an invitation in any way, won't you please come now as we stand and as we sing.